Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Persistent Systems Earnings Conference Call for the first quarter of FY24, ended on June 30th, 2023. We have with us today on the call Dr. Anand Deshpande, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sandeep Kalra, Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Sunil Sapre, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Saurabh Dwivedi, Head of Investor Relations. Please note, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management opening remarks. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please raise your hand from the participant tab on the screen. While asking questions, request you to please identify yourself and your company. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Kalra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning to all of you, depending on where you're joining from. We would like to start this call by thanking each one of our customers, partners, and investors, as well as our 23,000-plus team members for their resilience and continued trust in us. Let me now start with our quarterly financials. We are happy to report yet another good growth quarter across major business and financial metrics, even as the macroeconomic environment remained uncertain. The revenue for Q1 came in at $282.9 million, giving us a growth of 3% quarter-on-quarter and 17.1% on year-on-year basis. In rupee terms, the growth for the quarter came in at 3% quarter-on-quarter and 23.6% on year-on-year basis. Coming to EBIT, our EBIT for Q1 came in at 14.9%. This translates into a growth of 29% on Y-on-Y basis. On a Q-on-Q basis, the EBIT margin declined 50 basis points as the tailwind of revenue growth was offset by higher visa cost, higher amortization cost, and doubtful debt provision. Sunil will provide more color on the EBIT margin movement later in the call. We are happy to report that we have implemented salary increments for our global employees as per our regular cycle effective July 2023. We expect to offset most of the margin headwinds due to the wage increase through cost rationalization measures, which are being set in motion from Q2 onwards. We remain committed to our goal of improving EBIT margins over the medium. Now coming to the order book for the quarter. The total contract value for the quarter came in at $380.3 million, with new bookings TCV coming in at $237.2 million. The annual contract value component of this TCV is of the order of $271.9 million, of which the new booking ACV component contributed to $144.1 million. While the demand environment remained stable, there were a few instances of delays in customers' decision-making, owing to which some deals got pushed out to subsequent quarters, and we are hopeful of closing these deals in Q2 and subsequent quarters. Please note that, as always, these TCV, ACV numbers include all bookings, small and large, renewals, as well as new bookings across existing as well as new customers. Coming to the client engagement sites, let me give you some color on our client engagement sites. We are pleased to report that our top customer revenue saw a healthy growth of 13.4% Q-on-Q in USD terms. This was on the back of 30% plus growth in the previous quarter. We continue to partner closely with our top customer to help them achieve their digital transformation objectives while also exploring meaningful opportunities for long-term collaboration. Our overall portfolio of top 50 customers grew by a robust 5.7% during Q1. As you would appreciate, our base of top 50 customers is a portfolio of our strongest relationships, and different customers are likely to take leadership in driving growth of this portfolio in different quarters. We are excited to report that the progression of our clients across important revenue threshold continues, with one additional customer moving into the $20 to $30 million band during the quarter, scaling up from the lower client revenue book. The total count of $5 to $10 million customers increased to 21 from 17. The total count of greater than 5 million customers is up to 38, compared with a count of 34 in the last quarter, and 26 such customers in Q4 of FY22. On the geography side, North America grew 4.9% Q-on-Q in USD terms, while India revenue grew by 1.5% Q-on-Q. Europe revenue declined 2.8% Q-on-Q on a smaller base. Coming to the people front, In Q1, we added 241 colleagues on a net basis, taking our total headcount to 23,130. We continue to increase the deployment of freshers on customer projects, though significant room still remains in improving fresher utilization, and this will be an important margin lever for us in the next few quarters. The blended utilization for the quarter came in at 78.3% as against 77.3% in Q4 FY23, aided partly by increased fresher utilization. On the trailing 12-month attrition, we saw the quarter come in at 15.5% compared to 19.8% in Q4. Attrition has come down to a more comfortable band compared with the last few quarters. The decline in attrition should nonetheless be seen in the context of general moderation of hiring across the sector and positive outcomes from our employee value-related interventions by our HR team. Moving on from operational metrics to certain strategic highlights for the quarter. A number of you have been inquiring about generative AI and our forays into the same. So let's start with that. As a pioneering digital engineering firm, Persistent has been committed to innovation and staying ahead of the curve across major technological developments. We have been working in the field of AI and related technology segments for the last several years and have been working with several enterprise customers in their data transformation and AI programs, as well as with technology companies in building the technology for the enterprises. Our many AI practitioners, researchers, and senior leaders have been closely following the generative AI developments and are enabling us to strategically adapt to these evolutions in the field of AI and meaningfully participate in the growing opportunities of generative AI. Over the last several quarters, we have been working on strengthening our partnerships with the leading hyperscalers, AWS, Microsoft, and Google, around their GenAI initiatives, as you would have noticed from our earnings presentation and fact sheet. In the GenAI domain, our target is to train 16,000 of our employees over the next several quarters. We have developed playbooks to effectively use code assist tools such as AWS Code Whisperer and Microsoft GitHub Copilot to systematically boost productivity of our engineers while resolving the privacy and licensing challenges, working closely with our hyperscaler and other technology partners. An advanced level training will focus on competencies such as AI engineering, enterprise architecture, deep understanding of IP, data privacy, security, product liability, trust and identity considerations as we move deeper into generative AI. We have and will continue to train our architects and developers to build AI-infused applications from the get-go to ensure AI is embedded into our work culture. We have also been leveraging GenAI technologies in our own internal landscape as a customer zero and are unlocking significant productivity across several use cases across functions such as HR, marketing, and IT workflows. With all this, we are finding good momentum on the business side as well and are in discussions with over 50 plus clients on generative AI related project opportunities. These are a combination of GenAI advisory, GenAI powered pair programmer, legacy code based migration, conversational AI, enterprise search, enterprise data modernization, GenAI security, as well as GenAI, broader engagements, to name a few. We expect the adoption of GenAI to pick up significantly over the next several quarters and years. As of this point in time, while the revenue from this may be smaller, but the adoption of this should significantly increase over the next 3 to 4 quarters and subsequent years. Coming to the updates on the M&A side, at this point, all our earlier acquisitions are fully integrated, and we are proud to say we are winning deals jointly based on the joint capabilities, and these are fructifying through the combination of the Persistent and the acquired companies. We are once again active on the M&A front and will report progress on this front over the next several quarters. On the board front, we welcomed Dr. Ajit Ranade as an independent director to our board of directors. Dr. Ranade, a renowned academician and economist, brings to Persistent his impressive experience of 32 plus years to help guide our strategy and accelerate our growth journey. We are looking forward to working closely with him as well as our other board members for the next phase of Persistent's growth. We have shared more details as a part of our Q1 earnings release for our investors' reference. Coming to the updates from our AGM, we recently conducted our 33rd annual general meeting earlier this week on 18th July. I'm pleased to share that all the resolutions that were put to vote have been approved by the shareholders with requisite majority. On behalf of all of us, I would like to take a moment to thank all our retail and institutional shareholders for their support in this regard. Coming to the administrative updates. On the administrative side, we opened a new office in Jaipur, India, as our latest COE for Salesforce-related technologies. Krakow, Poland, as an extension of our nearshore capabilities in Europe, and Dallas, Texas, as the latest hub for our private equity-related competency. In the coming months and quarters, our expansion plans include locations such as Kolkata, Kochi, and Chennai. Our endeavor is to provide world-class facilities to our employees in locations close to them and encourage them to work from office a few days every week. In summary, we are pleased with our performance in Q1 FY24 in a challenging business environment. I would now like to invite Sunil, our CFO, to give a detailed color on the quarterly financials and related matters. I'll come back after Sunil's comments to give you some more details on key client wins, analyst awards, and other recognitions for the quarter. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Sandeep, and good evening and good day to all. And thank you for taking the time to join us today. Sandeep has given a detailed update on the business side and the market perspective. Let me now take you through details of financial performance for the quarter. Before I start detailing on the quarterly financials, I would like to call out some of the changes we have made to our quarterly disclosures, which most of you would have noticed. We have provided additional disclosures in the nature of revenue contribution from top 50 clients. The total client base with annualized revenue in excess of 250K per annum. Effort mix between global delivery centers in India and return on capital employed. At the same time, we are discontinuing certain data points, including metrics across services and IP business, such as the breakup between services and IP revenue, services and IP client base, and person months. And as a result of that, breakup of direct costs between employee-related expenses, purchase royalty, and project-related travel expenses. These details are, of course, available in the detailed financials. It is on the face of the fact sheet, it is not there. As our business has become more complex, comprising of fixed price and managed services deals, the breakup across services and IP revenue is becoming less meaningful, and hence the discontinuity of this disclosure. Moreover, you will also observe that post restructuring of one of the contracts with our top client some quarters ago, the IP-led revenue as percentage of total revenue has been less than 10%. It has been ranging between 7 to 9%. In view of the same, going forward, we'll be reporting the total revenue. This being the quarter of change in disclosure, I would like to share that our services revenue grew by 2.7% quarter on quarter, and IP revenue grew by 8.8% quarter on quarter. The few other data points which I mentioned above, which we are discontinuing, is about the revenue by delivery centers, the billed person months, and on-site offshore utilization, while we continue to disclose blended utilization rate, including trainees. As most of you are aware, we make the changes to our metrics at the start of a fiscal year, and we have made these changes, which I just called out, keeping in mind the industry practices and based on inputs we have received from the analyst community over a period of time. Let me now share with you the details of financial performance. The revenue for the quarter came in at $282.9 million, with a growth of 3% quarter on quarter and 17.1% YOY in dollar terms. Revenue for the quarter in INR terms was ₹23,211.8 million, reflecting growth of 3% quarter on quarter and 23.6% YOY. As I mentioned, services revenue grew by 2.7%, while IP revenue grew by 8%. Coming to sequential growth for the quarter, BFSI grew 6.2%, technology companies grew 3.3%, while healthcare and life sciences degrew by 2.8% quarter on quarter. On the effort side, our blended utilization, including trainees, was 78.3% as compared to 77.3% last quarter, and attrition was 15.5%, reducing from 19.8% last quarter. As you all are aware, and as Sandeep mentioned, we achieved $1 billion in annual revenue in FY23, and it was only possible because of continued support of our customers, partners, and employees, So we had organized events across the globe to commemorate our journey with them and express our gratitude for their support. These events were well participated. The total one-time expense for these events and employee gifts amounted to rupees 486 million, which impacted the margin by 2.1%. As you are aware, the board recommended a special dividend of rupees 10 per share as a gesture of our appreciation of the support and continued trust by our shareholders. Let me now give you a walkthrough of other details for the quarter. As you all know, this is a quarter where we do the H-1B visa filings. So this cost came in this quarter and accounted for 40 basis points of impact. We have been encouraging all our employees to work from office at least 2 to 3 days a week. And during the last couple of years, in order to be closer to employees and also attract talent in various parts of the country, we have opened offices in Indore, Jaipur, and Ahmedabad. And as you recall, with our acquisitions that we did about a year ago, we have now presence in NCR at Gurgaon and Noida. This, coupled with expenses on food and transport due to increase in the offices, had an impact on margin by about 20 basis points. The slight increase in doubtful debt provision of 10 basis points impact on the margin. With the above, EBITDA for the quarter was at 18.2% as against 18.5% in the previous quarter. Depreciation and amortization expenses were at 3.3% as against 3.1% in the previous quarter. Last quarter, there was final allocation of purchase consideration for acquired entities, resulting in a credit of rupees 40 million in amortization expense. In the normal course of business, there is an increase in amortization on account of investment in software tools for learning and development and for improved cybersecurity measures. As a result, in absolute terms, amortization, which was rupees 434 million in Q3 and had declined to rupees 404 million due to the credit, as I mentioned above, is currently at 476 million in this quarter. With this, the operational EBIT for the quarter was at rupees 3466 million at 14.9% as against 15.4% in the previous quarter. Treasury income for the quarter was rupees 154.58 million as against 129.05 million, mainly on account of increased interest rates and treasury size. Forex loss was rupees 64.1 million as against rupees 189.1 million in the previous quarter. Profit before tax for the quarter was rupees 3070.5 million at 13.2%. And if we adjust one-time expense for the $1 billion celebration expenses, the PBT comes to 15.3% as against 15.1% in the previous quarter. ETR was 25.5% as against 26.2% in the previous quarter. PAT for the quarter was rupees 2287.7 million at 9.9% from a margin perspective. Adjusting for one-time expense net of tax, comparable PAT was rupees 2649.9 million before one-time expense, which is 11.4% of revenue as compared to 2515.1 million in the previous quarter at 11.2% of revenue. EPS for the quarter was rupees 30.49. And adjusting for one-time expense, it could have been rupees 35.32 as against 31.9 in the previous quarter. As I mentioned, we have disclosed ROCE for the quarter, which came in at 30% as against 28.8% in the previous quarter. Operational capex for the quarter was rupees 140.4 million. Total cash and investments were rupees 14089 million as at 30th June 23, as compared to rupees 15991 million as at 31st March. The cash balance at the end of Q1 was partially impacted by annual bonus payouts that happened in this quarter, as well as MCs and health insurance premium, which is the seasonal item in this quarter. DSO came in at 67 days as against 68 days in the previous quarter. Due to long weekend in the US, coinciding with the quarter end, collections amounting to $9.8 million spilled over to first week of July. Otherwise, DSO could have come lower, and more importantly, it could have helped the cash flow. Forward contracts outstanding as at 30th June were $230 million at an average rate of ₹83.53 per dollar. Let me explain the working capital movement and reasons for lower cash conversion during the quarter. As mentioned above, this quarter had payout of annual performance bonus to employees, which amounted to ₹1886 million. Software license purchases and health insurance premium renewals amounted to ₹890 million. There was an increase in GST receivable primarily on account of the software licenses as mentioned above and purchases of furniture and fit outs at our new learning and development center at Pune, totaling ₹570 million. The unbilled revenue went up this quarter due to delay in receipt of POs from few customers, some of which have already been received in July and have been invoiced. As regards collections, as mentioned above, due to the long weekend, collections to the tune of ₹800 million came in the first three working days of July in the US. All these factors cumulatively impacted cash conversion during the quarter. You will observe that first quarter of the year is seasonally lower for us in terms of cash conversion, but this time higher spend on software purchases, increase in unbilled revenue, and higher spillover of collections bunching together impacted the cash. This is under focus, and we expect the same to even out over the next couple of quarters. With that, I thank you everyone and hand it back to Sandeep.
Thank you, Sunil. I'll now talk about the key deal wins for Q1 by industry segments. Starting with the software, high-tech, and emerging industries. We were selected by a leading provider of a SaaS platform for customer service, sales, and customer communication. This is a large deal for us spanning over 3 years, in which we will establish an offshore development center to undertake engineering on existing as well as new products of the customer. Persistent was selected as a strategic partner by a multinational conglomerate in digital communications domain for engineering and support of its network services orchestration platform. This is a multi-year, multi-million dollar deal and involves vendor consolidation and transfer of work from on-site to offshore over a period. Persistent was selected as a strategic partner by one of the leading hyperscalers to develop generative AI strategy and proof of concepts, database connectors, etc. for serverless data integration. Coming to banking, financial services, and insurance. Persistent was selected by the financial services arm of a Fortune 500 automobile company to drive digital transformation of its customer acquisition platform, sales journey platform, customer service and contact center, as well as marketing automation platform. This is a multi-million, multi-year deal encompassing implementation as well as managed services. Persistent was selected as a digital transformation partner by a leading US-based financial software company to migrate applications from the environment of one of its acquired businesses to the customer's platform and provide managed services for such migrated applications. Persistent was selected by the US subsidiary of a leading Japanese bank as a strategic IT services partner to develop data science platform for risk management, identity and access management applications, as well as regulatory and compliance applications. Coming to healthcare and life sciences. Persistent was selected by one of the largest Fortune 500 company in the healthcare domain to undertake engineering on data and machine learning platforms of the company, as well as to partner with them in innovation and transformation roadmap. This is a more than 50 million TCV deal for us spanning across 3 years. Persistent was selected by a large UK-based medical equipment manufacturing company for building and managing a unified data platform encompassing supply chain, manufacturing, regulatory, product quality, and finance functions. We were selected by a leading company specializing in the detection of early stage cancers to re-engineer its platforms for curation, analytics, and laboratory information management, as well as migration of its data lake platform to the cloud. Coming to the awards and recognitions for the quarter. Q4 saw us get continued recognition from industry-leading analyst firms and associations. To mention a few, Persistent was featured in Everest Group's 2023 Peak Metrics Service Provider of the Year Awards under the top 10 ITS challengers list. Persistent was named as a leader in the Everest Peak Matrix on Payments IT Services 2023. We were recognized as a major contender in Everest Group's Healthcare Data and Analytics Services Peak Matrix Assessment 2023. We were awarded by the Times Power Brands 2023 under the Excellence in Talent Acquisition category. We also won several awards from ISG, including being named a leader in ISG Provider Lens, Digital Engineering Services, Quadrant, US 2023. A leader in Salesforce Ecosystem Partners 2023 ISG Provider Lens Study. And last but not the least, top 15 sourcing standout in the Q1 2023 ISG Global Index. In summary, we continue to deliver top quartile revenue growth in QY F1 FY24, despite a challenging macro environment. We remain watchful of the macroeconomic situation and are proactively staying closer to our clients, aiding them in prioritizing their technology spend towards transformation as well as cost optimization, and we are cautiously optimistic about our growth momentum. I would like to once again thank our management team and global team members who have persevered through these uncertain times and delivered yet another growth quarter for all of us. Our decision to go ahead with normal wage increase in this macro environment is a testament to our gratitude for this effort. With this, I would like to conclude the prepared comments and would like to request the operator to open the floor for questions. Moderator, over to you.
Thank you, sir. We will now open the call for Q&A session. We will wait for a few minutes until the queue assembles. We request participants to restrict to two questions and then return to the queue for more questions. Please raise your hand from the participant tab on the screen to ask questions. The first question is from Abhishek Bhandari.
Yeah, I thank you. Good evening, management team. Sandeep, I have two questions. First is, you know, you have been talking in the past of your aspirational growth number of 3-5% every quarter. Good to see you still doing around 3% this quarter. But if I heard you correctly in the CNBC interview today morning, you alluded to 2-4% to 3-5% depending on macroeconomic. I couldn't quite get it. Are you saying that if the macro remains uncertain, you could go below your 3-5% number?
So look, we don't give the forward-looking guidance. But having said that, we have said it very clearly. In a good economy, we'll be between 3-5%. In a bad economy, we may get to 2-4%. And we have persevered through it, even in the current macro. You have seen all our peer results. We have persevered and we have delivered 3%. So our endeavor is to deliver the best growth we can. And we are at it. And our bookings, et cetera, if you look at our traditional bookings, although this quarter was a tad bit lower, a few things slipped over, not necessarily lost, but slipped over and have closed or are closing. So our endeavor is to do what we have said and we'll go from there.
Sure. Thank you for that. The second question is on the margin part, you know, given that, you know, probably the growth is, you know, slowing down a bit for us. Do we still believe that, you know, this year we could have a margin expansion compared to last year? While I understand your medium term, you want to go, you know, up by 200 to 300, but more from a next, you know, 4-5 quarters, do you think what could be the upward bias on the margin and what would be the levers driving that?
Sure. So if you look at the overall front, not just margins, our first priority is to make sure that we have a healthy growth momentum carry forward. That is our first thing. And we are investing in our growth, whether it is on our sales and marketing side, whether it is on our capabilities on generative AI or other technologies that we are, you know, dabbling in cloud, data, security, manuals. So that is the first priority. Now, we are not hung up on optimizing the margins in the next 2-3 quarters. We have said our aspiration over the next 2-3 years is 200 to 300 basis points, and we are at it. In terms of the levers, we still have a significant amount of underutilization in the freshers that we took. There is 12 to 15 months that many people have spent with the company. They have been trained, they have been, you know, shadowing different programs. We have a significant dry powder in terms of talent. So that is one lever, obviously. Then there are other things, whether it is our lateral utilization, which also, if you look at it today, we are in the range of 78%. If we move from 78% to the highest that we have seen in the range of 83 plus, every percentage of utilization gives us 30 basis points. And there are many others, including revenue increases and so on. So we have certain levers, but our first priority is to make sure we grow healthily and then we go from there.
Got it. Thank you, Sandeep. And maybe one small last follow-up. You know, while you hinted at some of the AI-related initiatives, both from an internal and external perspective, but if you could give some idea about any large investment you think would be needed to probably cure the service line. And if so, is it going to be more in terms of, you know, acquisitions, or how are you thinking about bolstering your AI part of the business?
Sure. So Abhishek, I'm sure a lot of other people are also interested in this. So let me just spend a minute on this. So if you look at Persistent, right from the get-go, we have been working on data. The name Persistent also comes from the persistency of databases, and Anand himself is a PhD in databases. That's our genesis. Over the years, we have done multitude of AI products related work, whether it is, for technology companies building the technology. For the hyperscalers itself, we are working on their machine learning related technologies, which is the underlying, thing behind all this. For, enterprises in healthcare life sciences, we have worked with them on doing platforms for tracking the progression of renal diseases and predicting the newer, patients' renal disease progression or diabetes progression, or in financial services, in trade finance, and many, many, many use cases. So this is not new to us. Now, it doesn't make sense for us to go and acquire another services company because this field is pretty new. Our own capabilities are pretty good. We are working with our, hyperscaler partners. We are very closely collaborating with people like AWS, Microsoft, and Google to understand their forays. We are using ourselves as customer zero. If you look at press releases that we have done, we have collaborated with Microsoft to use Viva and OpenAI in our own, environment. Today, for our HR, we are using that business case. Now, for our own developer productivity, we have experimentation going on with AWS as well as with Microsoft. Similarly, in many of the customer environments, we are working on Bard or OpenAI, or we are working closely with Google on their technologies. So there's a significant investment that we are doing in putting a team together, which is basically going to evangelize this with our customers and even internally. And somewhere down the line, in the next 2 to 3 quarters, we would have trained all our engineers on the different technologies, whether it is developer productivity, whether it is building these LLMs or foundation models, or deploying them in an enterprise. We are not going to do acquisitions as of now in this, because there's nothing to acquire. Everyone is learning and we are ahead of them. So that is our foray, and we are putting investments into our own teams and their learnings.
Thank you, Sandeep, for the detailed answer, and all the best for the year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abhishek. The next question is from Siraj.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you'll have to speak a little louder, but you're audible.
Yeah. Sandeep, I have a couple of questions. During the quarter, one of our global peers reduced their guidance. So how are we reading that, and do we make any changes in our client strategy and all to, mitigate such uncertainty which can come going forward in the year? Second, we opening offices in Tier 2 and Tier 3 town to attract the talent and all. So does it give us a lever going forward that we will have a labor cost relatively lower compared to what we get at Tier 1 cities and town? Yeah.
So let me start with the first question. See, as far as our global peer is concerned, who reduced the guidance and so on. So look, every company is different. We can't manage other people's guidance. All we can do is perform well, and within the hand that is delivered to us, whether it's a good macro or a bad macro, we are trying to do our best. And this is an economy in which, we have to be proactive. We have to proactively, based on our understanding of our customers and prospects, we have to take a cost optimization pitch and so on. And that's what we have been doing. And we have, this is the 13th sequential quarter for us for revenue increase and profit stabilization and increase. That should give you a proof point of we are at it. We can do better, obviously, and we will try and do whatever we can. But we are not giving any forward-looking guidance, reducing or increasing. We have delivered well and we'll continue to execute. Now, as far as the Tier 2, Tier 3 cities are concerned, the basic rationale for us was, as the pandemic happened, a number of our employees also moved back to their hometowns. And some of these are Tier 2, Tier 3 cities that we have opened offices in. Wherever we saw clusters of our own employees moving back, and we also saw clusters of talent availability. And to your point, yes, it could be a margin lever for us as we go ahead, because if we are taking our offices to where the talent is and not necessarily hiring in a high cost location like a Bangalore or Hyderabad or, maybe even Pune, and we are diversifying our, pool that we are getting the catchment area, spread out to, that is the whole, strategy. And we are also expecting this to not just expand the pool, but also reduce the attrition, both of which can be margin accretive.
Thank you.
One more question.
If you allow. Yeah.
I would request if you can join back to the queue.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chirag. The next question is from Sandeep.
Can you ask your question on if you're on mute, unmute and ask.
Can you unmute Sandeep Shah?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is, Sandeep, this time the impact on the growth looks like is more with the decaying buckets, not with maybe top clients, but set of clients. Whether this phenomena is correct and whether it is restricted to one or two verticals or is it broad-based? And second, the projects which are actually getting stopped and paused, do you believe it may come back or clients are actually rethinking in terms of not starting those projects and those may be actually cancelled?
So look, I wouldn't, if one has to take a bigger picture view of things, at a Uber level, it is not this that everything is getting impacted. There are different shades of customers. There are customers who are getting impacted in this macro a little more than others. And so we have seen some of these, including some of the strongest hyperscalers, take care of their own cost ahead of whatever it is. And so we had, for example, last quarter said, one of the largest hyperscalers, we had a ramp down of $3 million a quarter. And I can tell you, without naming anyone else, it's not just us. Most of their strategic suppliers were dealt with the same hand. Now, some of the weaker customers may postpone the deployment of capital. I don't think these are getting canceled. If there are any material things that get canceled, as we declared last quarter, openly, we will come and say. So there may be a little bit of a pushing out in terms of wrap-ups. There may be a little bit of spend pullback. What we are hearing from our customers is clearly the next 1 to 2 quarters are where it is tough. And then they are also expecting the market to open up for themselves. And hence, we are also hoping to see acceleration over the next 3-4 quarters. That is where we are. Nothing that we can say this particular vertical, this particular customer set is suffering more than others.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep. Next question is from Prajay.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. So I just have a small question. So when we are saying that it's a 200 basis point to 300 basis points of improvement, are we talking about PAT margin or EBIT margin? Just one clarification on this.
So we are talking about the EBIT level.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dipesh Mehta.
Thanks for the opportunity. 2 questions. First of all, just want to get some sense about the vertical. BFSI, I think most of peers indicated challenges in growth. We have very strong performance. HLS, we are seeing some weakness. If you can provide some sense how we look these 2 vertical and high tech also. Second question is about the expenses side. Software license expenses has seen significant increase as a percentage of revenue over the last couple of quarters. So if you can provide some sense, what is driving it and how one should model it? Thank you.
Sure. I'll answer the vertical related question and I'll have Sunil answer the software licenses related question. Now, if you look at the vertical side of it, while BFSI came in strong for us, from our customer conversations, we can see that the next few quarters are going to be a tad bit soft for BFSI. And we'll see how it pans out in actual execution. Now, from a healthcare life sciences perspective, the degrowth that we saw was particularly restricted to what we call scientific instruments and medical devices segment. There are 4 segments in healthcare that we deal with: scientific instruments, medical devices, payer, provider, and pharma. Now, when we look at the scientific instruments, segment, there are a few of our customers who had seen a windfall in terms of their revenues because of their play in the COVID value chain, whether they were people who were providing reagents or test kits or equipment in the whole value chain. So that their revenues are now going down and they are recalibrating to their new reality. And that includes some spend with us. If you look at our bookings, from our bookings, the largest deal that we won in this quarter was with a payer and a tech company in the healthcare segment. So if I look forward from what we know today, healthcare life sciences is going to be a good growth segment for us, while it may have seen one quarter dip. Banking financial services will be a little tepid. As far as technology is concerned, that is a segment where we have the strongest, you know, right to win and seat to the table. So that is going to be a good forte for us going ahead. Hopefully that answers you. And Sunil will answer the question on software licensing. Sunil, over to you.
Yeah. So hi, Dipesh. In terms of software licensing, there are basically, as you know, two items. One which is used in project deliveries for customer projects, and the second for own use. So own use, basically, we have made, you can say, strengthen our own cybersecurity defense. We have also done some investments in learning and development related softwares.